Falun Gong is freely practiced in more than 50 countries, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, SGMTV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, and welcome to the weekly FGMTV News Review on December the 30th, 2002. I'm Susan Mitchell. David Tompkins will be back from a well-earned vacation next week. In this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while under detention is 537. Reliable sources inside China, however, put the actual death count in the thousands. In the last 7 days, reports of persecution have come in from 12 provinces, including the cities of Beijing, Chongqing, Wuhan, and Nanhai. 451 people declared as null and void all statements they'd made under torture and at times when their minds were not clear. They said they intend to continue to practice Falun Gong. Our top stories this week, 2002, a year in review, and a few of the outcomes detailed in today's stories. From tapping into TV cable networks in China to a global campaign to rescue their relatives illegally imprisoned, Falun Gong practitioners had a very busy year. And some of our other stories. Christine Loftus interviews the twin sister of a young woman just released from a Chinese labor camp. Jail terms handed down to Falun Gong practitioners arrested for tapping into Chinese state TV networks. At least 26 are dead after a tornado and a killer hailstorm ripped through Guangdong province. The nature of torture in China today. And last but not least, important things come in small packages. Our top story. The Canadian government obtains the release of a Falun Gong relative from a Chinese labor camp. Christine Loftus reports.
Hi, Helen. I understand your sister, your twin sister, has just been released from a labor camp in China. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happened?
Sure. Yeah, my sister lives Tan Tianxiong. Yeah, we both practiced Falun Gong in 1995. And in 1999, I immigrated to Canada. After Chinese government changed attitude to Falun Gong, in March 2001, my sister was sent to the isolate room and monitored by fire person 24 hours a day, and she cannot go home to take care of her 4-month-old baby, so it's too sad. Yeah, after more than 1 month, she was released. But in March 2002, she was notified to take part in a work meeting, but then she disappeared. After several days, her husband was notified she was sent to the labor camp. In this December, she was released, so totally 9 months. Yeah.
What helped to bring about her release this December? I understand from here in Canada, you've been putting out quite an effort to try to obtain her release. What was this all about?
Yeah, actually, we have a group campaign to rescue the over family member who are Falun Gong practitioner persecuted in China, held in September, just a part of them. And I went to the NPO office and the mayor office to ask them to write a letter to the Prime Minister Jiang Kui-jian to stop the persecution and rescue over family member. So far, we have a total of 6 practitioners, Falun Gong practitioners, was rescued from labor camp in China. And among them, 5 practitioners was rescued from labor camp by Canadian government help. So I think the government work is really make difference. And you know, the group campaign totally have 16 countries. So I hope the other country government can, like Canadian government, can stand out for Falun Gong and speak out for us, stop the persecution, rescue our family member.
So your sister has been released from a labor camp, but I understand she's still in China. Is she still in a serious situation?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think my sister now is still in danger. From my mom, my mom told her she didn't dare to contact the earning colleagues and friends because the last 2 times, just because she told his colleagues and friends Falun Gong is good and all the propaganda defaming Falun Gong are liars. So she was sent to the labor camp. So this time after she released, she did not contact any friends and colleagues. She's free to send the labor camp again. So I think she's still in danger.
So are you going to continue your efforts then and try and rescue her to Canada?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Thank you, Helen.
Thanks, Christine. The year 2002 for Western Falun Gong practitioners was a year of courage and included some forthright dealings in the courts. In Canada, it began in January for Montrealers with a lawsuit against Les Presses Chinoises. This was followed later in the year by Torontonians suing Tsingtown newspaper for defamatory photos and inciting hatred. 59 Westerners traveled to Tiananmen Square to raise a beautiful banner, and almost immediately got shoved into police vans and overnight detention in a filthy prison cell. Their brave action generated tremendous global media coverage and awareness of the plight of Falun Gong practitioners in China. It also inspired many other practitioners to go to Tiananmen Square to appeal either by themselves or in small groups. One joyful highlight of the year 2002 was the return to Canada of Mr. Shen Li Lin in February after being in a labor camp for 2 years. His crime? He delivered a letter to the appeals office in Beijing requesting a peaceful dialogue between the Chinese government and Falun Gong. He's shown here on arrival at Montreal Airport with his wife, Ms. Jin Yu Li, who had campaigned tirelessly for his rescue. One not-so-happy incident, 16 peaceful practitioners in Hong Kong are brutally removed from a legal appeal outside the China liaison office and taken to court. But outside China, people resisted the persecution. The Canadian Broadcasting Standards Council found Chinese CCTV propaganda unfit for Canadian TV. When government officials in Iceland detained Falun Gong practitioners who'd come to peacefully appeal during Jiang Zemin's visit to the island, hundreds of citizens came out to protest and also paid for a full-page apology to practitioners in the island's main newspaper. Jiang Zemin is sued in a U.S. court for crimes against humanity. And Chinese Vice Premier Li Lanqing is sued in France for the same crimes. These men will eventually be tried in the International Court in The Hague for their unspeakable crimes against Falun Gong practitioners and their defamation of the practice and its founder, Mr. Li Hongzhi. Jail terms for tapping into TV and radio signals. On December 28, 2002, the official Xinhua News Agency reported that 8 Falun Gong practitioners have been handed prison sentences of up to 13 years for tapping into local television and radio signals in China's eastern province of Anhui. For more than 3.5 years, state TV and radio have broadcast a constant stream of lies about the practice of Falun Dafa. At the same time, reversing the trend from when the government fully supported the practice between 1992 and 1999, state media have absolutely refused to broadcast any positive news of the sometimes miraculous benefits experienced both by practitioners and by people who have defended Falun Gong. Guangdong province is pounded by a tornado and a killer hailstorm. According to the official newspaper China Daily, up to 26 people were killed and 100 injured when a tornado and a severe hailstorm ripped through China's southern province of Guangdong. Reports stated that more than 220,000 residents in Suixia County and in the cities of Lejiao, Lianjing, and Jiangjiang were affected by the tornado. The storm left approximately 5,200 homes wrecked and sank 50 boats. 21 people are reported missing in icy waters, and officials hold little hope of finding them alive. In early July 2002, police in Jiangjiang City arrested more than 12 practitioners and also destroyed several centers where they were producing truth-clarifying materials, such as flyers and video CDs. 3 months later, those practitioners were tried in a secret court hearing. It was reported later that Zhuo Jiangshan was sentenced to 15 years in jail, and the others were also heavily sentenced. It is said that good will be rewarded and evil will be punished. If this is true, then the citizens of Jiangjiang seem to be receiving retribution for their unjust treatment of innocent Falun Gong practitioners. The nature of torture in China today. Illegally detained practitioner Mr. Lu Lin Fu has been locked up in a 1 square meter solitary compartment in Qin Duang Kao prison for 2 months, simply because he refused to follow the police's orders in revealing information about where he came from or in signing guarantees to stop practicing Falun Gong. He's unable to stand up or lie down to sleep in the compartment, and he's staging a hunger strike in protest. After he's released from the compartment, he will be sent to the number one division, where policemen claim that in order to have Mr. Fu give up his belief, they would order criminals to torture him. They said that if Mr. Fu refuses to write a quote-unquote repentant statement, he would be tortured to the point of no hope of living and no chance of dying. Article 23, still in the news. Public consultation has now ended for comments on Hong Kong's Article 23, the section of their basic law dealing with sedition and treason. Details of the current draft of the legislation have prompted at least 192,000 submissions of concern from governments, unions, human rights organizations, journalists, lawyers, corporations, and individuals around the world. Falun Gong practitioners in Hong Kong could be in grave danger of imprisonment, torture, and even death if the legislation is not adjusted, simply because the Jiang regime has banned the practice on the mainland. Therefore, practitioners in many countries have come out to protest and to educate the public. In Tokyo, we see one of the many typical parades with practitioners carrying large banners through the streets of their city. And on the other side of the world, in Strasbourg, France, they chose to be a little more stationary to give the public a chance to drop by, watch the exercises, and hear first-hand accounts of the persecution in China.
瑞士丹麦和荷兰的法轮功人士分别讲述了他们在中国大陆劳教所受迫害的经历。Important
things come in small packages. In North America, Falun Dafa experience sharing conferences typically draw about 2,000 participants. In China, it is illegal for practitioners to speak about their practice, and so a message received this week is rather extraordinary. It said in part, on November the 8th, in a northern Chinese city, 14 practitioners sat together and had a small experience-sharing meeting. Practitioners first sent forth righteous thoughts. We studied our teacher's writings and then shared our experiences of cultivation in this special time period. The conference lasted for over 2 hours. In another instance, two soldiers who were friends were recently discharged from the military. Mr. Ching went to work in a police department and Mr. Shan became a blue-collar worker. One day, Mr. Ching came across Falun Dafa books and videotapes that had been confiscated by police from practitioners' houses. He quickly picked up 2 copies of Juan Falun and called his friend, saying, I've got a treasured book for you. Please, come over here as soon as possible. Mr. Shan came right away and took one of the books. Everyone in Mr. Shan's workplace is talking about how the friends who served together in the military are now reading Juan Falun at the same time. People around the world celebrate the last 2 weeks of each year in various ways, and Falun Dafa practitioners are no exception. In Vancouver, they invited friends and relatives to share good food, music, and Chinese calligraphy. In the Taoyuan district of Taiwan, practitioners spent half a day together studying their teacher's writings and doing the exercises together. Toronto practitioners maintained their tradition of holding several days study at the University of Toronto. Christine Loftus was there to report.
During the holiday season, Falun Gong practitioners gathered at the University of Toronto to end the season with a group study and experience sharing meeting. The event was run from December 27th to 29th, and practitioners came from as far as Michigan to attend. The 3 days consisted mainly of reading the Falun Dafa books together as a group, discussion about experiences and questions and new understandings of the practice, as well as practicing the 5 sets of Falun Gong exercises together. How to help to bring an end to the persecution in China was also a major topic. Through this event, practitioners of Falun Gong deepened their understanding of the practice and helped each other to solve problems that they were trying to overcome. The atmosphere was one of warmth and compassion, and the event was definitely a successful one. This is Christine Loftus reporting from the University of Toronto.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, exposing the state terrorism, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.